remembering Acts, the Bensons gave this to me. When I started preaching the Acts, they're like, you know, there is a rhyme thing that helps us remember the books of Acts. I think they're only through chapter 9, so I might have to get creative and do the rest, but I've got plenty of time before we get there. So here it goes. This is what they shared with me. They learned this at another church, and they know this is a family, and so it goes like this. Acts 1, goodbye to the Son. Acts 2, at Pentecost, the church is new. Acts 3, a miracle for all to see. Acts 4, God's Spirit shakes the floor. Acts 5, the church will the church survive. Acts 6, deacons the church picks. Acts 7, Stephen is stoned to heaven. And Acts 8, a eunuch enters heaven's gate. So that's a little thing that you can maybe write down those if you want to, or just kind of think about those as we proceed. That'll probably get us through Christmas right there. A lot to talk about there. But just trying to remember the book of Acts. And today, we're talking about a great family. Sound familiar? I'm going to share with you about a great family that's explained here in Scripture. Now, I'm going to tell you this a little bit ahead of time before we get too deep into this message. Sometimes Christians read Acts 2, 42 through 47, and they're like, oh, Nirvana. The church was perfect. If only we could go back to when the church was perfect. Now, just hang on, everybody. Wait till we get to Acts chapter 5, okay? This church is the same church that we are a product of today. All churches have problems. Amen? Somebody give me a witness. Church hurts are the worst hurts, and so many people are products of church hurts. And listen, we look back and think, if only, well, in these four verses or five verses, it's pretty good. I can admit that. I will say that these people didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them until last week. And then, bam, we got the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and it's all brand new and fresh. And so they're dealing with a clean slate. This is the new church. It's the beginning of the church age. Woo! Let's go. Let's do it. And it doesn't take long for there to become problems. Let me just say this. Don't be offended. People are messy. I'm just going to say it. People are messy. And that's okay. It's real life. I know my wife shared yesterday at the Sit and Sip. We left Wednesday night. Wednesday was my wife's birthday. And I made the mistake of asking my wife, what would you like to do on your birthday? You know, and I was thinking, you know, let's go out to Taco Bell. I was hoping for something like that. And instead she goes, we're going to Grand Rapids to see the baby. Oh, man. Okay, we can fit that in, we can do that. And so we came, kicked things off at the last family night and got things rolling in here, handed it off to Roger Sovis, and then Julie and I headed to the parking lot, got in the car, and we started out for Grand Rapids. We're going to my daughter's house. We're going to see baby girl, baby grandbaby. We got past Lansing, and my son called me. He lives in Allendale, and he's like, I don't feel so good. Something's wrong. I'm not feeling so well. We're like, it's probably nothing, Josh. Don't worry about it. Well, we hung up. He called back 5 minutes later. We hadn't even gotten to this side of the east side of 66. And my son says, I'm throwing up and I don't feel so good. I'm sitting on the toilet, and I feel like I'm going to throw up. And my wife's like, okay, then grab a can, sit on the can and have a can. And we're like, Josh, sounds like you got food poisoning, buddy. I mean, it came on so quick. And you know, he was fine all day. And like, we're telling him, Josh, oh, it stinks. And he's alone. There's nobody there. He's in an apartment by himself. And he's like, I don't know what to do. And we're like, it's going to be okay. And he's puking and doing other things. And mom's like, oh, it's, and he's like, I think I'm dying. You're not dying. You're not dying. And he goes, I think I'm dying. No, you're not dying. And I shared experience when I was traveling and speaking. I ended up in northern Wisconsin, and I got food poisoning on Friday night. And I had to push through that week, and I shared with him how awful it was. It's just the truth, Josh. Mom shared experience, but she was ready to get on a plane. She got food poisoning. And we're sharing, like, you're going to live, but it really stinks, Josh. It really stinks. He goes, I don't know. We hung up, and then he called back 2-3 seconds later to the sounds of all the things happening. Yeah, I know. It's like, thank you. It's wonderful in stereo in the car speakers, you know, you're just hearing all the sounds, and he wasn't even talking to us. And then he hung up, and then 2 minutes later he called, and he says, I called 911. No, Josh, we're coming. We're going to be there. 5 minutes. No, I called 911. I think I'm dying. So we ended up in a hospital till about 1 a.m. About 2, we got to baby girl's house, and they wouldn't let us wake her up and play with her. So we had to wait till the next day. Let me just say, people are messy, right? I'm talking about my own family, right? But in this great family, it's just the way it is. I had a good friend who wrote a book called Poop Happens. Poop happens. You know, the church here in Acts 2 is a wonderful picture, but don't fool yourselves in thinking that, oh, if only I could go to that church. This is that church. Let's talk about it. Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's walk through it verse by verse. In Acts 2, verse 42, a lot happens in one verse. The first thing we see, and by the way, these are the big four. You're going to hear the big four today, and the big four are still applicable to this church, right? Number one, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know, they received the apostles' teaching as the word of God. That's important. Any good family should sit under teaching of God's word. That's vital. There is no compromise here. You're not going to come to Oakwood and hear political messages. You're not going to show up at Oakwood and hear front page news stuff. You're not going to come to Oakwood and hear the hot topics. We're going to go through God's word, and we will apply it to the things that are happening in our lives, but we're preaching God's word. And that's the first church. That's the first thing. They were devoted. Devoted. Everybody say devoted. And the first thing they were devoted to was the apostles' teaching. The second thing they were devoted to is spiritual fellowship. It says they were devoted to fellowship. The Greek word there is koinonia. I like that word, koinonia. In Battle Creek, our senior saints group were called the koinonia group. They were the fellowship group, spiritual fellowship. Let me just say, spiritual well-being requires assembling. I can't say this enough. So many people think, I can do this one. I don't need the messy stuff. You're like, Pastor Don, I heard you. The people are messy, so I'm just going to be alone, and I don't have to deal with the mess. Nope, sorry, you got put into the mess. Don't add too much to it, but you brought into it, right? And so we are called to be devoted to fellowship, to koinonia. And by the way, I put spiritual there. I do think there's an element in the church family for it to be a spiritual aspect. But can I just tell you, that well-being is not just spiritual. That well-being is social. That well-being is mental. That well-being should be physical well-being, although we have too many bacon and Bibles and things like that. But we should be getting fellowship that's beneficial to our whole being. But since we're a church, we're not a social club. We're not the Lions. We're not any other organization in the community. We are a church. And so I'm calling this spiritual koinonia, spiritual fellowship. And they devoted themselves to that. They didn't pull back and be loners. They didn't try to be solo. They were devoted to breaking bread. In Acts 2:42, it says it very clearly, and I just want to be very transparent with you. It's hard to explain this because sometimes breaking bread means communion, the Lord's table. Other times it means breaking bread and eating. Getting down to business. Let's eat together, right? And so breaking bread is both eating together and observing the Lord's table. And so I put underneath this one, because there's another one in this passage, in this one I believe that was referring to sharing in communion together. Remember the Lord said at the Last Supper, do this until I return. Do this until I return. And so we celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion. together as a church. Some churches do it every week. Some churches do it every other week, maybe twice a year. There's different ways of doing communion. It's simply a choice. I love how the Bible doesn't give us exact details on every aspect. It lets the church figure it out. The elders make choices here, and we follow the elders' lead. And at Oakwood, we celebrate communion once a month, but it's not hyper-legalistic. I mean, we did just do communion at Good Friday, and we're going to do it again in the 1st of May. Some would say, wait a second, we already did it twice in April. Well, it's okay. It's not wrong to do it more. And you all only do it, what, 12, maybe 13 times a year? I do two services, so I'm doing it like 24 times a year. And so I'm doubling up my communion. Here's the point. None of that matters. God gives us freedom. He lets the church decide. We think every week is too often because then it becomes passe. It becomes something that too frequent that we blow it off. We think less than once a month is not enough. And so we choose once a month. Usually the first Sunday of the month. But they were devoted. They were devoted to teaching of God's word, spiritual fellowship, breaking of bread, and fourth, devoted to prayer. We can't get away from that. The first church, they devoted themselves to prayer. It's essential for a faith community. The first church was a praying community. I think in their context, they felt the danger all around them of living in a hostile environment where that wasn't welcomed, and so they were dependent on God through prayer every day. Have we lost that? Do we think we can do church and we don't need God's intervention? Oh, God help us if that's the case. They devoted themselves to prayer. Now to Acts 2:43. They were filled with awe. And that word awe is fear and reverence. Remember, the fear of God does not mean being afraid of God, but being in reverent awe of God. Understanding His mighty power and putting yourself under that. And so they, in verse 33, all the people were together filled with awe. What was it that was awing them? Well, it was a response from witnessing the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Again, the apostles were a unique group that were there and was with Jesus, witnessed His death, resurrection, and they were the original foundation of the church. And so they saw them doing wonders and signs, and they were filled with awe. Verses 44 through 46, they were devoted to brotherly love. Everybody say devoted. I want to keep going back to that because I think that's a key element. They were devoted. The people were devoted. And they were devoted to brotherly love. Phileo, love, in the Bible. That's where we get the word for the city of Philadelphia. Phileo is the Greek word they take that from. It means brotherly love. Agape love is God's love. That's a whole different kind of a love. But phileo love is brotherly love, concern, right? Eros love, we won't talk about this morning. But there's lots of different kinds of loves. They were devoted to brotherly love, and here's how it breaks out. They were living in purposeful unity. All together. They weren't just getting together for no reason. There was purposeful unity. They were bonded together. They saw themselves as a family, the first church, living in purposeful unity, sharing in community. Let me read part of that again. Verse 44, all the believers were together, everybody say together, had everything in common, everybody say common. They sold properties and possession to give to anyone who had need. Everybody say need. This is a purposeful unity and a sharing community. But let me get this straight with you guys today. It was not communism. Some people read this and they see communism because they had everything in common. I want you to look at it closer, though. This is not everybody sold everything they had and put it in a pot and lived in a commune together. It was not that. Listen carefully of what the Bible actually says. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. It does not say they sold all their property and all their possessions. I believe what the Bible is referring to is that people, certain people, I don't believe they sold their homes they were living in. By the way, the church had to meet in homes. What good would it be for everybody to sell their homes? They had nowhere to meet. Obviously, they kept some homes because they had to have a place to meet, right? Go back to gathering is essential, right? So the church kept meeting. Why? Because people had houses. What this is referring to is some people had multiple properties in multiple places of abode, and they would sell the excess in order to meet needs. I think they still had things. See, some people read this like, we ought to go back to that, right? We got to go back to that. And everybody sell everything you've got and put it in a pot, and we'll all just live together, right? Refer back to my point about all being messy. Let's not do that, okay? But we do want to make sure that we're meeting needs. That's important. You know what I see here is the benevolent, phileo, agape kind of a love that the church has with one another. See a need, meet a need. Say that with me. See a need, meet a need. And I'm going to tell you, Oakwood does that and can do that. Not only inside these walls, we even go even further and we meet needs outside of these walls. They were living in purposeful unity and sharing in community, not communism, but they took care of people. If I have something and you have a need, I share it with you. That's what was happening here in the early church. What else do we see here in these verses? Sacrificing selflessly, we see that. I mean, it's a big deal that people would sell property, by the way. Back in that culture, having property was a big deal. And so if you had lots of different properties and you sold some, you were still selling something very important to your legacy and heritage. It was a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice. So they sacrificed selflessly. They gathered in public. The Bible says they met in the temple courts. So we should meet in public, right? But they also met in private. The Bible says that they partook in meals together. Here's the other breaking of the bread, right? And I don't know if they actually did a moment of communion with that bread or if it was just eating together. I don't know about you, but that warm pita bread, you know, I'm picturing there on the, and you got the oil with the pepper, cracked pepper in it, and they get to dip that. Oh, man. I think they were partaking of good food together. Why? That's fellowship. That's why we eat a lot together. I know there's a lot of debate about that, you know, and some of us have been in the church a long time, have the serious consequences from it. I'm just really good at koinonia, everybody. But there's something about sharing a meal together. You know what I mean? Something about sitting down around a table. You share a meal. You don't just eat and leave. There's more being shared than the victuals on the table. When you sit down with somebody and you share a meal together, you're also sharing things. You're sharing life. And these people, the first church, they met in public, which we're doing today, but they also went further and they met in private, partaking in meals together, experiencing authenticity and joy. Let me read that part to you. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They loved it. They loved it. They were authentically warm relationally. And they loved that life. It is a great church. This is a great family as we're looking at it on the screen. And then it ends beautifully. Acts 2:47, they're praising God. Look at verse 47. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What do I see here? I see that they're praising God for His goodness. They never forgot to praise God. They were enjoying life together. People's needs were being met, and so the people's needs who were being met, they're thrilled. But the people who are meeting those needs, they're thrilled too because of the authenticity, the phileo love, the agape kind of love. And it's good. And so all are experiencing joy, but they thank God for it. They thank God for His goodness. And they recognize God for His works. Notice they don't say, look at us. Look at, we do the big four. And we love one another. Therefore, people just can't help but show up. More people are being added because we're so wonderful. That's not what they say. If you look at what they say here, they praise God and the Lord. Everybody say the Lord. The Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. They recognized it, and they thank God for His goodness and recognized Him for His works. We need to remember that too. It's God who builds His church. Amen? I'm reminded as a pastor all the time when people come and I finally get to meet them and they're like, how long have you been at Oakwood? Well, we've been coming for a couple of weeks now. Oh, that's great. But we were watching online for 3 years. What? 3 years you were watching online? I had a gentleman who started watching me, and he watched me every day, or every week, for about 4 years. I heard the story. I didn't hear from his mouth, but he shared that he was watching every Sunday, and then come fall, he was in his tree stand hunting, and he watched me from his tree stand. And it happened to be the Sunday I said, you need to be in church. And that hunting, being out in the wilderness, thinking you're communing with God there, that's not enough. You need to be with God's people. So in the tree stand, he went, shoot. He's been coming ever since. It's amazing what God does that we have no idea that's happening. You know, people come and I'm like, well, what was it? You know, and as a pastor, I'm kind of wanting to hear, like, it was Treehouse. I brought my kids to Treehouse, and then God saved me, and I was like, oh, that would be great. You know, quite often I hear the one was my favorite. One person was coming to Oakwood, was supposed to meet their family at church on a Sunday morning, and he said that he would take them out to lunch afterward, and he thought it was this church, so he came and sat in the church the whole time. He's like, where are they? He sat here at the wrong church. I can't take any credit for that. I did not sabotage GPS or conversations on phones. I didn't do anything. God got that person here. And they're like, I like this church. Next thing you know, they're coming here. Sorry, other church that we stole them from. You know, God builds His church. Quite often, God's going to do it. And He lets us help too. I love that. That God says, you're my hands and my feet. And so we do invite, we do bring, we do encourage. But God will build His church. And these people saw it. What is the result, though? In the middle, tucked in there are consequences of being a great family. Let me give you a couple of them. The consequences for the Acts 2 church was they were favored by all people. That should say something. And these aren't just church people. This gives the connotation that they were favored by all the people in the community. Loved these church people. They had goodwill from the people. That's huge. That's huge. I've met with pastors. I've had pastors having problems before in their community. I met with a church once that the township wanted to park some of their trucks in their church parking lot because there was a big project going on. They just wanted to park in the parking lot. And the pastor was telling me, man, I told them there's no way they're going to park their trucks in our parking lot. No way. I'm like, why? Well, it's our parking lot. And I'm like, foolish, foolish. You want to be a friend in the community. You want to be inviting and welcoming. I said, you ought to go back and apologize and tell them they can park in your parking lot. That's the kind of church that brings goodwill. Showing agape, phileo love in the walls and then outside the walls. That's what the people in the community are like, what are these people? What? Remember, that's what we heard when we started loving on this community at the Oxford shooting. Remember, your pastor didn't know what to do? And I called Florida to find out what should we be doing. I got a hold of a pastor that had been through a community shooting, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. What do I do? And he said, grab a piece of paper and a pen. Let me tell you some things I learned. And the first thing he told me, he said, Don, help the helpers. Just get your people and go help the helpers. Don't think that you're in charge. Don't think that you control it. Just go love people. So I found out that they were letting the people in the Legacy Center 24 hours. They were just letting people eat there. The kids would play there. Families would gather there. And so it was happening. And there was a church in the Legacy Center at the time. And they were kind of spearheading it. So I called that pastor. I'm like, what do we do? How do we help you? And they're like, well, you know, we're doing a lot and there's a lot of people bringing in stuff. We could use the money. I said, we'll write you a check. We wrote a check to another church to provide food. And then I said, what else could we do? He said, I don't know what to tell you to do, Pastor. I don't know what to tell you. And I said, well, what's happening? He said, well, they're eating meals. And then I'm like, well, they got to be making a mess. He goes, oh, yeah, they're making a mess. I was like, we're going to come and do trash duty. Can Oakwood come and just, with trash bags and a broom, can we just come and serve? He said, well, you'll do that? I said, let's do that. And so for weeks, we showed up down at the Legacy Center with trash bags and brooms. And we just walked and cleaned. Walked and cleaned. Didn't wear shirts that said Oakwood. Didn't tell anybody that we're Oakwood. After the first week, a pastor's wife in our community wrote online, people, you got to see this. There are Christians down here serving and they're not asking for any credit. She said, I even saw a pastor with a broom. And he's not asking anybody to come to his church. See, that's the kind of stuff that the church does that brings goodwill from the people. Well-favored. We started seeing people in town online ask, who are these people? Who is this Oakwood? And where do they come from? And that just thrilled my heart. Favored by all the people. Growth spiritually and numerically. When you see this first church, you see that there was an effect. The goodwill from everybody and the growth spiritually and numerically. What a good church it was. So let's talk about Oakwood's great family. I'm going to buzz these things real quick. I take what I see here in Acts 2 and I want to put it in our context. And here's what I want to say. Filled with devoted and genuine believers. That's a great family. That people coming are devoted and genuine. Good godly leadership. The first church had apostles that led the way. Now we have elders. Preaches and teaches God's word. Passionately worships God with awe and reverence. Lives in sacrificial community with one another. Practices relational warmth. And is dependent on God through prayer. That's what I want to say as a pastor. But you let me know. Is this us? When you're looking at the board, do you say, maybe we're not doing this so good, Pastor? Maybe there's an area we need to work on more. When I look at the first church and I look at the church today, I think maybe there's some things we need to get back to. The four, the big four, definitely. Maybe you need to sit there and say, I'm here. Am I devoted and genuine? Am I sitting under teaching? Am I worshiping with awe and reverence, focusing on the worship, not on the external stuff? Living in sacrificial community, practicing relational warmth, dependent on God through prayer. Is that who we are? I'd like to say that's who we are. I know we're doing pretty good at a lot of these things. And as I started the message with the fireside chat, you're a great church. But there's always room. There's always room for improvement. Think about it. Pray about it with me. And I'm going to ask us to do something a little different right now. I'm going to close in prayer. And then we're going to make a quick transition to show you a video, part of our moment for missions. So let me pray to end the sermon and then we're going to go to a video. Father, we do thank you for our chance to gather and read this passage. Look at that early church. And to look at Oakwood. And God, I pray that you would guide us and direct us. Help Oakwood to be a great church. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.